Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 142. Now serving Dumbass Pie.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Basses and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
And Angel.
So, did you hear that story about those cows that crashed that drinking party the other day?
Yeah, they were underage.
Yeah. It was very, very, very interesting how this happened. Six cows crashed a house party on Main Street in Boxford, and they wound up drinking all the beer left behind on the picnic table.
Yep.
They were alcoholics.
I'm just, you know what, I have to say, I'm going to wonder how that milk was.
Wait.
That's going to be some alcoholic milk.
I know where the cows came from. I saw a report on Facebook from the Irish police. They were missing six cows.
Oh, geez.
That's why I drank all the beer.
Yeah.
Well, it was the beer part that was okay. It was when they invaded the karaoke machine when things got worse.
Oh, fuck.
Moo, 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 moo.
Gotta be better than William Hung. Oh, she's fine! She's fine! Oh, she's more! She's more!
Oh, God, I hate that guy. Dude, that guy needs to be fucking shot.
Yo, he came out with a CD.
I know. That was like the thing with the South Park episode there with, I think, what, Mei Ling or whatever the fuck her name is?
Yeah.
The one that was singing. It's actually a real Chinese woman. And she created, like, a bunch of albums, and she's done, like... like all infamous cover songs, and it's
Mei Ling,
like,
or are you thinking of Bai Ling?
No, Mei Ling, no. This is like fucking nails on a chalkboard. Yo, that's how bad it is.
Yo, do you want to know what's sad?
And the Chinese wonder why their music industry is shit.
Yeah,
wait, you ready for this ultimate one? William Hung sold more CDs than that season's winner, Ruben Studdard.
No shit.
Wow.
Fuck that guy.
Wow. So it pays to not be talented.
I know, because Ruben Studdard sold a lot of albums, because he came out and started gospel albums.
Oh.
You know.
So he went myrrh, not platinum.
Yeah.
Well, we all know who the runner-up that season was.
Oh, yeah,
no. I don't know.
What's his name on Celebrity Apprentice right now?
I don't watch
spiky
that shit.
Spiky hair guy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're trying to figure this out.
I am trying to think this out.
All right, come on. No brain farts right now.
I am just having
a brain is queefed.
Just say it.
Clay Aiken.
That's what it was. Clay Aiken. So
he has spiky hair?
He used to have spiky hair.
I don't know. It's been a very long time.
Yep. But
I think that guy's seen the light of day in like the fucking past 5 years.
That's when, you know, Kelly Clarkson was on the show and she was hot as shit.
Very true.
Yes.
And but she's still hot as shit.
While we're on the subject of music, it's time for another episode of Guess Who Died This Week?
Really? Is this going to be our weekly thing?
It might have to be.
Oh, fuck. I don't even know who died. Oh, wait. Hold on. Who died?
He's not staying alive.
Robin Gibbs. Going to be here.
Are you fucking serious? What day was this?
Last Sunday, actually.
What?
The day after we did our
show. He's not staying alive.
He got taken by cancer.
Well, at least we don't have to hear that stupid ball-crunching sound anymore when he tries to do his fucking albums.
Wait,
okay.
So one brother
how
left.
Many Ben? How
there's many? Only Barry. Barry's the only one left.
But okay. He was a good one.
I remember watching, because of back in the day, I was not able to watch the MTV. So I was able to watch VH1. And there was a special...
I would say.
There was a special that had, you know, the Bee Gees on it, and he did that Sting live song, and I was cringing, and I tried to find the controller. Somehow I lost the controller at the same time, so I was screaming at the top of my lungs to change the friggin' channel. I was like, no!
But this is kind of weird. Last week it was Donna Summer, this week it was Robin Gibb. I mean, yeah, we say that disco is dead, but we don't want the actual musicians to die.
It's legitimately dying off on us.
No.
Next week we're going to hear that the Village People died in a horrible bus accident.
That's true.
It's fun to go to the mortuary.
It's like, yes, their bus just randomly flipped over. We heard a weird bang before. And the tire exploded and flipped.
Well, it could have been like how Metallica lost that guitar. Oh,
poor Cliff.
There was black ice on the road. Yeah, he's like, the lead singer said, I was in my underwear walking out on the side of the road trying to find this black ice. But that guy was fucking lying.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I bet you he fell asleep at the wheel.
He probably
that's
did.
That's what happened.
Shit happens that way.
Well, like, I saw a picture. It was Rock and Roll Will Live Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sign held up by Mr. Van Zandt.
When Steve Van Zandt, the guitarist for Bruce Springsteen.
Wait, did I pick the wrong last name?
You might have picked the wrong last name, because Van Zandt is the guitarist for Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band. Not to mention the star from The Sopranos and that awesome show that you keep telling me to watch about this mobster that goes to Norway or whatever country it was.
Well,
Stockholm? No.
Yeah.
Is it Stockholm?
Yeah,
no,
Stockholm.
It's a different one.
Shortly after the picture was taken and their new album got released with flames all over the front.
Dude, you're thinking of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, but who is the singer?
I don't quite remember.
Well, I'm going to continue on. So the picture thing that Rock and Roll Will Live Forever, and shortly after that, their album got released. Everybody's engulfed in flames, and then their plane crashed, and they were engulfed in flames.
Yeah, you're right. It was a Van Zandt. Ronnie Van Zandt.
Thank you. At least
because it was his brother Johnny that took his place.
Yep. Yeah. And then their other brother, Steven.
No, it's...
Different? Not even related?
Not even related.
How do you have so many Van Zandts in the music industry like that?
Because it's rock and roll.
Population? Overflow?
At least I didn't get the last name wrong from one of my favorite bands. I'm like, wait, did I get this wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yep. So who do we think is going to go next?
What?
I know who's next.
Who?
I'll call this one. Elton John. He was in the hospital recently. He was hospitalized.
All right, that's it. Let's be assholes, or true bastards. We each pick three, and first one to get it wins a prize, and we'll discuss the prize later.
Okay.
Oh, crap. Elton John's one of mine. I don't know. Give me a second to figure out what's yours.
Well, you pick one. We'll go one at a time.
All right. I will go Zsa Zsa Gabor, because she's been in and out of the hospital so many times.
Well, then, wait, no, one at a time, so...
Okay.
Bob Barker.
He is old enough.
Yeah.
All right, Madonna.
Ooh.
Kirk Douglas.
Ooh, ouch.
I know he's in his 90s. He did recover from a stroke, but you know those things, they could come back and get you any second.
All right, well, I got one that's even more plausible than the rest.
What?
Lindsay Lohan.
Really?
She's a huge drug addict.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. I got one. Martin Sheen.
Ooh.
Mm.
So, Madonna, Elton John, Martin Sheen for me.
So, let's see. I so far have got Zsa Zsa Gabor, Kirk Douglas.
Oh. Lady Gaga.
No.
Horrible people, aren't we?
It's just getting to that point where it's just like, who's going to die next? I mean, it's not like we're putting money down on this.
That would be the real asshole thing.
We're not doing this at, like, the old folks' home going, yep, that guy's next. And then he outlives us all.
Glenn Campbell.
Ooh.
Really?
Because remember, he's got Alzheimer's. But it might take a couple of years, so that's who I can... That was the only one I can think of.
He'll forget to take a pill or something and die. That's how life is nowadays.
I'm torn between a couple. One of them will make me cry if it actually happens.
Pick it. Not your nose, pick it. Dewey!
Do it, come on.
Do it!
Come on.
Hold on, give me a minute.
We're already at the 10-minute mark of the show.
Sweet, we're really killing time today.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
Yes. Come on.
This is going to be like friggin', you know, Final Destination and shit.
I know.
They're going to all be on a plane at the same time, and there's just going to be a line that fucking kills them because of a line, like, sitting underneath their seat.
And there will be the jerk that goes right over, okay, who died first?
Yeah. Okay, we so this guy was sitting at the front of the plane. He definitely died first.
Because like, we have lunch on this or something. Yeah, we'll go with Tiff McGee.
Bob? Bob's your uncle? That was good.
You know what? I have to go with the one that will make me cry. Hugh Hefner.
Okay. That I was thinking
you were going to say. I swear, you know what? You know what's going to get to the point is going to get to the point where there's going to be those goddamn organs like Repo Men.
Yeah.
Where they're going to just be like, oh, your liver's failing? Here's a liver. Give me your house. Basically. Because it's one of those things where the concept of life and longevity is like, that's a big issue. I mean, okay, back in what, the 50s? You were lucky to live past 50?
Yep.
Now we're like, in 2012, you're like, people are breaking like 110. Like, it's no friggin' tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, population control's gonna be fucked.
Yep.
It's like, we have too many people on the planet. Shh. Nursing homes, here we come. Now it's gonna be a playground.
Let's send them to the moon. Anyways.
Segway! Speaking of the moon, we're talking about a movie where it opened up on the moon.
In a momento. Who do you think I was going to say?
I was actually thinking you were going to say Tony Bennett.
That's the guy I was looking for! I'm like the singer, my name.
But I'm sorry, when Tony Bennett dies, I got this like strange suspicion that the whole world is going to like slip into like a black hole of sorts. Yeah.
That's one of the only other times that I think Vegas will shut down, other than when the Rat Pack died.
Yeah.
I think that's when they're going to turn on that machine yet again, you know, the black hole, I mean the black matter creator and shit like that, and that's when it's going to fucking kill us all.
Okay. So.
Well, that's just me.
We're talking about the movie Men in Black 3, and what, it's been 10 years since the last one came out.
Shit, has it been that long?
Yeah.
2002?
Yep. Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith did not look any older.
What are you talking about? He fucking looked like shit.
Who?
Tommy Lee Jones?
No, Will Smith.
Oh, dude, that's just wrong.
It does. He's next. You know what? He's next. Will Smith is next. I'm sorry.
So, movie opens up. This hot girl from that band, I can't remember what her name is, but she's in the Pussycat Dolls.
Nicole Scherzinger.
Thank you.
Hold on. So you're saying the girl from the Pussycat Dolls was that really hot one?
Uh-huh. With Boris tattooed.
With the Boris tattoo.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And she gets sucked out into space? Brilliant! I love it! That's a great acting career. It's over now. She's done.
Yep. Hey, and the villain.
You know you are
that one. Oh, dude, definitely. I want to motorboat the shit out of those boobies. But,
oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't the boobies he was talking about.
Yeah, you were talking about the vagina earlier. But anyway, I want to say the boobies because they were right out in the open.
But anyway, the villain in this film is Boris the Animal, played by Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords.
Fuck you, it's still Hugo Weaving. Nope. I you know what? Fuck IMDb on that one. It's Hugo Weaving.
Nope. IMDb, Wikipedia, the movie poster.
Bullshit. It's still Hugo Weaving.
Nope.
I credit Hugo Weaving for this fucking movie.
Nope.
They copied his look.
It's Agent fucking Smith. If you look at the facial thing, I bet if you did have a facial recognition fucking bot in front of you right now, and it looked at him, right, and then it looked at the guy that you're saying it is, and he would look at him, and then it would look at Hugo Weaving, it would pick Hugo fucking Weaving! It would say that it had a 95% chance that that was fucking Hugo Weaving, not that fucking guy from the Flight of the Conchords.
Down boy.
Fuck that guy.
So, Boris the Animal goes back in time to kill Agent K.
No, it's just plain Boris.
Right. Okay, so Boris goes back in time. Goes back in time to kill Agent K. Which then prevents that weird thing to go around the planet Earth to keep those weird species from attacking.
He really paid attention there.
The Broglodytes. Was it the Broglodytes?
Yeah.
Because it rhymes with Troglodyte, which made me think of Bus Driver.
Wow. He brought Bus Driver into this conversation already.
He loves Bus Driver. Okay?
So do you.
I do love Bus Driver. I like Bus Driver too. Not as much as you.
You get like a Bus Driver chubby.
So
he's like,
mute. No,
let's move on.
So Agent J goes back in time to prevent the killing from happening, and he runs into the younger self of Agent K, played by Josh Brolin.
I have to say, Josh Brolin, he did a fantastic. I don't know if they did anything with the audio, with like they had, you know.
Nope, that's all him.
It was all him and stuff.
Yep,
like that?
All he did was watch Men in Black 50 times to Jesus. Get the voice right.
Really?
Yep.
I do that on a daily basis. I can't fucking do that voice. But that's the thing. His voice is unique, and it sounded, it made it sound like the younger version of him.
Yep.
Even though Josh Brolin's, he's somewhere around like,
he's in that kind of,
he's like 48 or something like that.
I would say late 30s, early 40s.
Do you have a computer?
You have a computer. Check, man. You
know, he's trying to play
44.
He's trying to play a 29-year-old.
Yeah, he's trying to
play a 20. That's a stretch.
I mean, he's played everything from Jonah Hacksaw on up to this now, so it's... Well, he played... I think the funniest fucking role he's done was George W.
Oh, Lord,
he
yes.
did W, and it was fucking classic. I have to yep. say, that is a damn good movie. He did a fucking fantastic job. I especially love when they're doing the walking in the woods and stuff like that, and they get lost. He's just like, where the hell did we go?
And even though he had a small part in it, True Grit.
Yeah.
Yeah, very small.
Look, he did a better George W. than George W.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
George W.'s like, when I grow up, I want a bit of that man.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of this film? Because I was a little bit worried because I hated Men in Black 2, despite the fact that it had the hot, sexy Rosario Dawson in it.
Oh my god, Rosario Dawson. Ah!
Yo, she made that
that's
movie
like
amazing.
Top three she's top two out of my four women, of Spanish women that I would stay with for the rest of my life.
She's in my top five of all-time women that I would marry.
See, no.
Yeah, me
now,
too.
Now, I have to explain the whole concept of that. I've had Spanish women before, and I'm never going to date a Spanish woman ever again. I swear, if I do, this motherfucker right here, Anvil, can shoot me in the face.
Unless it's your top four, which I need to know.
If it's in the top four, it's Penelope Cruz. She's number four. Michelle Rodriguez.
Ooh.
Rosario Dawson, and top number one is, what's her name?
Big Ava Mendez?
Ava Mendez, thank you. So those are my top
four. Rosario Dawson does not fall under Spanish because she is part Irish.
She's Puerto Rican.
Check it out.
Oh, fuck this. Come on. Wait,
trust me. I know
she's part Irish, but that's why.
Yeah, but I don't even think she's Spanish.
Anyways.
Cuban.
Cuban, there we go.
That is Spanish.
Depends on who you...
Oh, blow me. Anyways.
Excuse me. Cubans are from Miami.
Okay. So, I feel like I feel like the CGI in this film, half the time was really good. Like, especially when it came with Boris the Animal. But then half the time you could fucking tell it was blue screen or green screen.
Well, the only other thing is that I have to say is what the... I can't imagine this movie in 3D because I know that, you know, there was some aspects, maybe the time drop as jumping off of the Empire State Building and doing the time drop. That may have been an awesome 3D aspect, but the rest of the movie, I couldn't see where they could have thrown
anyone.
Did
anyone kind of notice too in the scene where you see Cape Canaveral when they're starting to pan out near the beach? It got a little blurry, like they forgot to transfer it back to 2D.
Possibly. Well, no, that's the thing with digital now. It's like, well, remember that one time we watched the second Transformers in 3D. And it was at the IMAX when they built in the new IMAX theater over at Liberty Tree.
That horrible, horrible IMAX theater.
And I think there was this whole part where one of the characters were up here and the other character was down there. And all you saw was his blur down at the bottom right of the screen. I was just like, well, that's crap. But that might be one of those things with the actual camera system. Like when you get to the corners or the edges and stuff like that, because everything's mainly focused on the middle. Everybody will look at the main part of the screen for about 80% of the time when they're watching the movie.
Right.
Instead of, not able to catch everything because it's not wrapped around us, like, you know, the shit over at Museum of Science.
By the way, did anyone notice or recognize the person who played the young version of Agent O?
Oh, that's, what's her name from that movie? And she's really hot. I don't remember her name.
Alice Eve, who was in She's Out of My League and The Raven. She played
Emily. Oh, right, that girl.
Thank you.
She was gorgeous, and it was great that, you know, she was able to play, you know, that the younger character.
Agent.
Yeah, Agent. Yep. Well, I think I like that whole little part where it's just like, oh, yeah, I keep calling everybody K, and when I see women, I call them O, and I just go, okay.
Anyone else think Bill Hader was hilarious as Andy Warhol?
Oh, man.
I can't, you know what? I'm sorry, but I can't remember the whole concept of Andy Warhol. I can't.
All right, there's a movie called...
I'm sorry, it's a little bit distant from my mind.
Yes, there is a movie called Factory Girl. Watch that. It gives you a good, like, understanding of who Andy Warhol was.
Might this be on Netflix?
It might. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Don't jerk off about it. But anyways.
Mm-hmm. Too late.
But no, I mean, I didn't really... Like, that's the whole thing is when you're trying to get a group of people that are sitting in the same audience that may be under the age of, oh, let's say, 40, you know, to understand the whole concept of who the fuck was Andy Warhol? Because they jumped back to 1969.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody knows he did the fucking Campbell's soup can picture.
Well, yeah, that too, but... Well, no, that's the thing. He made that comment in the movie. He says, "I'm tired of drawing these fucking soup can things and all this other shit." Yeah,
and
they swore a lot in this movie. I was surprised. I was happy.
Yeah,
I was happy about the swearing.
Yep. He also produced the Velvet Underground's like banana album.
I'm sorry, but also his comment of, "Dude, get me the hell out of here. Fake my death. Do whatever you have to do. I can't tell who's women and men anymore here."
Well, that's like. I'll be right out. I'm filming him eating a hamburger.
Yes, now the pickle.
Oh, I had some weird kids sitting behind me. He's like, at, like, times that weren't even funny.
Like, yeah, he was like fucking, he was, I think he had a time delay on him. He had like 5 to 10 minute time delay. Like something mm-hmm. happened funny on the screen that he was like.
Yes. He starts laughing when. He's standing there. He's in an empty hallway waiting for an elevator. All he goes,
I got now.
I'm like, right. And his dad was the same way, though.
Yeah, then it was fucking, he was tapping, too. I wanted to go over and punch him in the face because he stole our seats.
I know. Did you recognize the guy who played the space unicorn?
Fucking space unicorn?
There was the guy who had, like, the knowledge of the past, present.
Griff! Why would you call him a space unicorn?
Now that's what they said.
Picture of that weird gay guy like this.
That was his name, Griffin. But you call him
Griff.
Space.
I call him Griff.
Okay.
I don't like Griffin.
But he was. But he was.
I know there's a mythical thing, but there's a person that might be of that name that I don't like.
He was in a really weird but pretty cool Coen Brothers film called A Serious Man. He played the father.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've ever. I know you're a Coen Brothers fan. I don't know if you saw that movie.
No, I don't believe I saw that one, but that he looked very...
Fargo?
He looked very familiar. Like, I understand. Like, his face was very recognizable. Those blue eyes were pretty cool that he did.
Yep.
Especially when he was touching people.
I've never seen Fargo.
Burn After Reading.
Didn't see that either.
Bullshit! You were in the fucking theater with us!
No, I wasn't!
George Clooney and his amazing fucking machine?
Nope.
We did a fucking pilot episode about that.
No, I wasn't there.
Anyways, fuck it.
That was football season for me.
No, we recorded that in October.
Well, anyways, we'll fucking duct tape you to a wall and make it work anyway.
I'll put money down if you go back and look that I didn't see it.
Can we even go back that far?
I have it somewhere.
Okay. But anyways, for the most part, this movie was done... Very well, but yet also in a sense that it was predictable. Oh. But not only that, it was also, how would you want to say, going through the motions? Like, it felt like they were, like...
We're tying up loose ends.
Well, it's all but only, like, but, you know, he goes and flashes people and he starts giving, like, random comments of bullshit. You know, just like, oh yeah, remember that time you had that fish that you bought for the kid? Well, that shit happened. And it's like, in the background. It's like, okay. Yet they fucked that up in the commercial.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, when you're watching that, he says that, and the friggin' thing goes by. First part, the thing goes by, and then he comes over and he flashes the people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is pretty funny.
It's like, don't lie
and
to your kids.
May we just interject and say, when we see he flashed them, he used the neuralizer.
He pulled out his penis, showed them, a little flash went off, and people fucking forgot shit, alright? That's what happened. What the fuck is the problem with that?
I don't know.
I don't know, Riley, because Will Smith's penis is a fucking neuralizer, alright? What is the cutoff when they do it? They cut it over to the people, and they get flashed. They don't show him flashing people, they show him pull out a little rod that looks like a dildo, and it fucking... Alright, I'm gonna stop now.
So basically you're saying...
Get me on the fucking stage right now and I'll rip people a new one, okay?
Here's some dumbass
talk. You should do a stand-up show.
Fucking stand-up show. Stop kicking your own ass!
He hit my funny bone. Okay.
So, for those who don't know, the duck has injured himself 4 times during this show.
Alright, so...
And now he's crawling across the room.
See, that's what happens when I make people laugh. They injure themselves. Oh, Jesus. Open up both windows now. Alright, besides the whole factor that Will Smith's penis is a neuralizer. Yeah, I think they did a great job of the movie, like, the dropping back, but yet Tommy Lee wasn't in the friggin' thing.
He wasn't in there for too long. I thought
he was in there for the first maybe 15, 20 minutes of the movie, and then he got sucked into some weird thing, and then they probably only used him at the end where he was having pie.
Yep.
That's it.
I'm not trying to ruin it,
but I'm just saying, there is pie.
Pie.
Don't forget, the most important part of the end scene.
What?
He came back and left a tip.
Yeah.
And we don't mean his penis.
Although women don't like that.
Griff looked very happy after, you know,
he's like, whoa, that could have been something not averted. And
yeah. Oh, never mind, he left the tip. It felt good. Okay.
They put the tip in.
That's bad.
Okay.
Is Shane here? Because we're getting really dirty with
this. Yeah, because he would be the dirtiest motherfucker of them all. Any other comments that you felt on this movie? Like, what they could have done maybe better, or what they could have...
They could have paced it a little bit better. I felt like there were a couple of areas in the beginning that were a bit dry. I felt like some of the humor was forced. Like, when Agent O was trying to do the speech, and... I remember what this such-and-such alien said about Zed.
No, don't make the sounds. I will not make the sounds.
I felt that went way too long.
That was way too long. And then...
Thank you. I believe that there should have been more action, and some of our favorite characters should have been in it more, because the worms were only in it for like half a second, and then, you know, the pug wasn't in it.
No, the pug wasn't it.
The picture of the pug does not count! It does not count!
And then, I missed that!
And then Tony Shalhoub's character was in it for like a second. When he went back in time, he's still working the newspaper stand, but they didn't even talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't working the newspaper stand.
Yeah, if you look, it showed him.
Well, no. He never worked the newspaper stand in the previous films. He worked at, like, that, that dealership, that,
No, the, you mean the pawn shop.
The pawn shop, thank you.
Well, they had him at a newspaper stand.
He was in that? I didn't even see him. Was he?
It was like that.
Jesus.
Or at least it looked like him. And then they... spoiler alert... They killed Zed. They showed a picture of him.
Well, let's put it this way. Rip Thorne, his real name is Rip Thorne. He's really fucked up, man. He's gone off the fucking deep end. And further. I don't know how you could go any further. He has.
I think
Charlie Sheen actually recovered from that. That's a scary thing.
But that's the whole thing is that I think... Rip Thorne, after Freddy got fingered, has just lost the fucking marbles. And Tom Green literally fucked him up.
That's what I was about to fucking say, dude.
I can't say that enough, because Tom Green has fucked some people up. Did you just almost puke?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had water in my mouth.
Did you forget it was there?
No.
Anyways. But for the most part, yeah, this movie, it had, you know, a great cast of characters, but yet... It did seem like they were going through the things, and, you know, Hugo Weaving was great.
Jermaine Clement!
Fuck Jermaine Clement, it's Hugo Weaving, and you can't fucking tell me otherwise. I don't give a shit. If I was on the stage, right next to him, I'd be like, Hugo fucking Weaving. I want my autograph from Hugo fucking Weaving. Thank you. Good night.
Do they even look close in real life?
They do!
No.
Real life, no. No, that guy looked like him with glasses. He looked like the king with glasses. All right. I swear.
No way!
Yeah. No! That's the makeup!
It's Hugo freaking Weaver.
Nope.
Thank you. Good night!
Nope. Everybody has him down as Boris. As Boris. I'm sorry. Alright, let's give a grade for the film. I can give it about a 3.8 out of 5 for Men in Black 3. I would put it as the second best in the series. First Men in Black, number 1. This one, number 2. And then Number three was Men in Black 2, which was definitely a big number two.
I lied. I saw this movie. Can I jump in?
Go for it.
Quickly.
I actually did enjoy this. This is one of the things I've discovered about the Men in Black series is I personally enjoy it for the first time through. I'm not a big fan of rewatching them personally.
Yeah.
For a first watch, I give this one out of five. I give it a 2.5 out of 5, 3 out of 5 for the first watch, but I don't think that there's much value in rewatching it because a lot of the comedy is that you don't see it coming. And just, oh my god, I was crying at a couple parts there.
Yeah. I have to agree here with Shades Black Flynn. The whole concept is that this will be on the DVD bin when it becomes like $2 in Walmart. I have to say that.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy like just as a first watch.
I
agree with him. And it's just like that. Like, I agree with you on that concept. Maybe 2 wasn't as good as it could have been, but I did enjoy Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
I love her so much. But that's the thing about the first one. The first one is the one that opens up your eyes.
Yes.
That's the fucking can opener. And the second one is the hardest fucking thing to do because you're trying to open up, you know, another 6 cans of whoop-ass, and it's impossible just to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, asshole.
Shut up.
Anyways. So for the most part, it as a grade, I'll lean more towards a 3.5, 3.6. I'll give it around that one. I'll give it a fair mark for the third installment of Mamily B, but it's just, also, I got confused when we go into the movie theater because when we wanted to put in, because we thought it said 3D, no, it meant 3, like MIB3, but also digital.
That's what I thought.
And I asked the guy, he explained that to me, and I went, oh, okay. I was just like, where's my glasses, asshole? But
also, support your local drive-in theaters. There's too few of them.
Yeah, no shit.
Yes.
Your turn. Anvil, number. Out of 5.
I give 3.8 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
Alright, so same as me.
Wow, I gave it the lowest grade here.
Yeah, but I gave it closer towards you. I gave it 3.5.
Mm. Alright, so why don't we move on to the era of sports?
There's no era of sports.
Area of sports, I meant to say.
Alright, everybody, so you know, it was a very interesting week in sports. Red Sox finally finished up their 20-game road stand. Coming home. Well, they came home at perfect 500, which helps. They did lose last night in a heartbreaker. It's a close game. So we're down under 500 again going tonight.
A bench clearing.
Hey, I'm getting there. Pésime culo.
I don't understand that because I've been with so many Spanish women. Anyway.
So when we were down in Tampa, we had a hit fest down there. One of ours got hit, one of theirs got hit. We come up here, they hit one of ours, we hit one of theirs. Bench is clear.
Here's a clip from it.
No, not again. And this is
put
now the chair down. Put the chair down. Mom will never let us in this house ever again.
She makes good cookies.
And yeah, she does. Guys.
You're lucky.
We all live in our mom's basement. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I don't.
I do.
I don't.
I don't. I live in the upstairs.
Shut up.
Fuck you!
Right.
Alright. Celtics tonight will be playing Game 7. Winner goes to the Eastern Conference title game. And being at home, we're favored. So, let's go Celtics. Last night, in a very gripping game, the two teams for the Stanley Cup have been finalized. The LA Kings, who have been waiting for their chance, well, last night, the New Jersey Devils finished off the New York Rangers. An overtime thriller was a great game. So, right now, I'm going to make my prediction for the Stanley Cup champion.
Who do you think?
LA Kings.
You think the team that once hosted the great Wayne Gretzky is going to come up on top of this?
I think they will. They're, you know, a good, solid team. I know I made the prediction for the Phoenix Coyotes originally. They lost to the Kings, so I'm taking the team that beat my original team.
Okay.
So it should be a really good time, and I can't wait for it, so we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Patriots are still, you know, signing their draft picks. They signed Chandler last week, so it was really good. Team's forming out very well with the top coaches in the league, and somehow Bill Belichick took number 2 to Tom Coughlin. I don't know how that happens.
How did he even make that list in the first place?
They rank all the coaches.
But why did they put him in the worst?
No, they ranked all the coaches, and he took second place to Tom Coughlin.
meaning he's the second best coach in the league.
I heard it was the second worst.
No. Tom Coughlin, Bill Belichick, McCarthy from the Packers. I believe he's the best. Thank you. And now he's going to try to prove me wrong like he always does. I'm the sports director. I know my shit.
Do you know?
Wait. Did he just say I was right?
You said he was right.
No. Oh, GQ names Valentine Belichick two of 12 worst coaches in sports.
That's GQ. They're a clothing magazine for best dressed. Yes, he would be the worst. He wears cut-off freaking sweatshirts.
That shouldn't be legal.
What?
Actually, it looks pretty good on. He's got shorter arms than most people.
Because he also, they put on the list Rex Ryan, Bobby Petrino, and Rick Pitino.
Those aren't even NFL coaches.
These are just worst coaches, period.
See? This was NFL. So, that's my official director stance on that comment.
Yes.
My nephew taught me how to do that one.
Besides headbutting.
Yes, the headbutts are awesome, and I'm not allowed to do that in here.
Okay.
Because then I won't be allowed cookies and shit.
Yeah.
Focus.
Yes, I'm staying focused. I got this. So, tonight, the B3 crew and some of our friends will be chilling out to watch UFC. Whole main card is heavyweights, which is sexy bitches like me. You know, we're all sexy bitches. It's okay, except for the duck. I don't know what happened to him.
I'm going to go to the fucking bathroom. I'm going to puke.
Blue is just a regular bitch. He's not sexy yet.
Yeah, I'm not sexy at all.
And Shades over here isn't a heavyweight, so he's not in the description.
It's okay, I'm still a sexy bitch.
You're sexy, what, featherweight? Yeah, there you go.
That works. I'm a welter.
Wait, how much you weigh?
167.
Bullshit. Anyways, you're 130. Shut up.
No, I'm 167 somehow.
Okay.
All right, we're going to put him in the cage with Ricardo George's.
Yep, there you go.
That'll make him want to lose weight. He looks petrified and he hasn't seen him fight yet.
No, he saw him fight.
When? Oh, yeah, that's right, duh.
Anyway.
I don't remember anything.
Anyways.
Alright, so last night I got a chance to chill out, you know, put my feet up, throw on some TV, and watch some, you know, of the Bellator fights, because we actually knew a few of the guys on the card.
No shit.
When our friend Shades was with us, the main event was Rich Clemente versus Brett Rogers.
Yeah.
Well, Rich Clemente fought last night, and it was the first time his 5-year-old son was allowed to come watch, because they're from Louisiana, and the fight was in New Orleans.
Nice.
So his son got to come watch Daddy fight, and Daddy comes away with a first-round submission victory.
When was this?
Last night.
Okay. Nice.
So, you know, when everybody goes to come in, his trainer grabs his son, so the son's standing there in a gi, and when they put the camera on him, he's like, come on! It was adorable. Congrats to Rich. Also,
you always got to have like a cute little bugger like mascot. Of course. Yeah.
And, you know, he got to walk up with Daddy. He's running up and slapping everybody's hands. It was cute. And also last night, a good friend of ours, Rick Hahn, who's from Draken, Massachusetts, he fought for the lightweight tournament championship last night. Against Brett Weedman, two very good guys. They fought at the welterweight last year. They dropped down to lightweight, both of them. They met up here. Last year, Rick made it to the finals, like just like last night, but he wound up losing by decision to Jay Heron, a former UFC guy, which he said ahead of time, if I don't knock him out or submit him, they're not going to give me the win. And he lost by split decision, his only loss to his career. Last night was an amazing fight. Having on the edge of my seat. Oh, it was beautiful, and Rick came away with the win, so he gets $100,000 and a shot at the title.
So, do you think Bellator will go and run for the hill to take on UFC?
Oh, they put on some really good fights, and they put on more fights than UFC.
Okay, so how many fights do UFC put on usually? What, 15?
One a month?
No, do you mean in the stand of how many fighters are in the card, or fight just
how
the
many
fights?
Fights? You know,
period. Series. So they'll put like what, two a month or something like that instead of
Bellator will do 2-3 a month because they do these tournaments where every weight class has a tournament going and the winner of each tournament gets a title shot.
I really want to see them do more of those Grand Prix, you know, type ones that we saw in the Warrior.
Yes.
I would like that kind of a setup.
I'd
like,
love
where
to
they
be
had,
able to do that.
They would have like kind of like a couple day event or something like that. Like this weekend would have been a perfect weekend for it. You know, it's like a three day weekend. People could stay at like a hotel casino setup, and then they hold like a 3 day fight setup and just go at it.
Yeah, but well, you'd have to get a state commission to allow it. That's
yeah. Well, they could kiss my ass.
Well, they're the ones that sign off on it all.
Yeah.
All right, and the final fight for a friend of ours, our good friend, Eric, the American Soldier Prindle. He was taking on Cole Conrad for the Bellator Heavyweight Championship. Well, the fight was over in a minute. It was classic striker versus grappler. Cole Conrad was a Division I college wrestling champ. He's considered one of the best, well, the best heavyweight wrestler ever. His junior and senior year, he went undefeated, going 76-0 in the final 2 years.
Even next to Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, Lesnar lost to Stephen Neal, who played for the Pats.
I love Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's a
Stop
good fighter.
Lying.
He's a good fighter. I just miss him. He's not doing a good, he sucked at fighting, I guess. Like,
well,
physical
no, he
fighting.
Sucked, his body just hit the beat. Well, Eric went to try to drop Cole, and unfortunately Cole grabbed him and used his wrestling skill to get him to the ground and got him in a Kimura, and unfortunately forced Eric to submit. But you know what they say, tap and live to fight another day. Eric will be back, and he will be better, so, you know, good luck. Can't wait to see you again, buddy, and I'll be shooting you a message on Facebook real soon, so. Now, next week, me and Blue are hopping in the Bastard Mobile and taking a trip down the Mohegan Sun Casinos for reality fightings, big fights. Card looks amazing. And it features two friends of ours from Team Perdulce Ray, Ricardo Georges and
Anise.
And I will not attempt your last name. I apologize. Eventually, I will learn it.
Anise, the scariest man alive, I have to say. He's a nice guy, but yeah, once you know start sparring with him, it's scary.
Yeah, well,
I don't ever want to meet him in a dark alleyway.
Well, I was rolling with Crew Lewis one time, and you know, Crew was trying to show me a couple things, and Anise comes walking over. Well, you know, you can do it like this. He grabs my leg and just cranks it. I'm like,
yeah, he's impressive that
way. I'm like trying to reach over Crew to tap Anise.
I think the scary thing is, and he's only a brown belt. Like, that's the scary thing. It's like, he knows so much, he should already be, like, triple black belt kind of status.
Well, it takes, you know, time, because, you know, they don't just hand belts on how good you are.
Well, no, I know, because of that fact of, you know, it has to be the reality and the retrospect of the actual dojo.
See, somebody sent me a thing that explained the way the belts used to go. Now, it took years for, you know, your white belt to actually turn physically black, right? They used to say they used to give you a white belt, and over the years it would start changing colors because of how dirty and sweat and everything in there, and when it finally turned black is when you finally earned it.
Yeah,
like,
but when I did karate when I was younger, it was, you did a white belt, and then after a couple months you were challenged to do a certain red aspect. You had to do, like, you know, to do a fight style, right, of the white belt, and then they would jump you up to yellow, and then after that, that's what the karate when I did karate. Oh. That's my setup that I used to go do.
I was trained in the world's best martial art from a very young age. It was called Beat Your Ass.
Yeah. Okay.
My cousin started by teaching me by kicking my own ass.
Yeah.
And then finally, I got to the point where I could kick everybody else's ass, including my cousins.
No, that works.
When he's drunk.
Well, first of all, you lead him to the steps and then you kick him in the ass. That's all you have to do.
No, see, we used to take an old rug that we kept in the basement and roll it out in the backyard at family barbecues, and we duke it out inside the rug.
Oh.
Okay.
Interesting.
It was fun.
Your family's fucked up, you know that?
Yours is worse.
I know, mine's just pretty fucked up, but
your
I
never... mom eats babies for breakfast!
Yeah, that's true. Poor little fuckers.
You love my mom.
Yes, I do. But anyways,
the adoption papers are almost through for you to become officially adopted.
Great. Fantastic. Yeah. Works. All right, so anyways, anything else with sports?
No, it looks pretty good, but...
Wait, did we say about who was fighting tonight? Frank Mir and...
Frank Mir versus Junior Dos Santos.
For UFC.
Mm-hmm. Cain Velasquez versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva. He has very big feet.
Who do you feel is going to win? Well, we'll just take those four because when I looked at the rest of the card, I didn't find any other people that I really noticed.
Actually, I like the whole top card.
Yeah, I like the whole top card myself. I know a few
because I know a lot of them.
Dos Santos versus Mir.
I'm just gonna say that one. You know, take a look.
Say after.
All right, so I'm gonna start at the bottom and I'm gonna work my way up on my predictions.
You would.
Yo, this is what I give you. This is what your mom gives you.
Ah.
And unfortunately, the girl that you met the other night, she gives it.
I would find a woman fucker.
I mean a man fucker.
Male fucker.
All right, we'll start with this one right here. So first one that I'm gonna start off with will be Dan Hardy versus Dwayne Ludwig. I'm taking Dan Hardy. I just think he's an all-around better fighter. At 23-10-0, Dwayne Ludwig is 29-12-0. Next fight will be... All right, this is a good one, and I can't believe it's so far down here. Jason Miller versus CB Dolloway. Both are good fighters. I'm taking Jason Miller because this is probably his last shot at staying in the UFC. If he loses, he'll probably never be back. Now, everybody probably remembers Jason Miller as the host of Bully Beatdown. So, we'll see if he can beat down CB Dolloway, who is his bully. Dun,
dun, dun. That was a terrible, terrible play on words.
Hey, I had to.
No, you didn't.
You suck.
Just shut up.
I'm done lying.
All right. So this next fight is between Edison Barboza and Jamie Varner. Both good fighters, but I'm taking Jamie Varner. Now, Edison Barboza is 10-0 versus Jamie's 19-6-1. But I think Jamie is an all-around better fighter, and the experience here, I believe, will actually help him. All right, next fight, Diego Brandoa versus Darren Elkin. I'm going to take Diego. Yeah. Whoa, okay. I'm not going to give too much explanation there as I move up.
I don't want to. I was looking down.
Anyway. All right, now this next fight starts the main card. And this one should be a really good fight between Stefan Struve and LeVar Johnson. Now, Stefan was originally supposed to fight Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt got injured. And on short notice, LeVar Johnson jumped up. I really like LeVar Johnson. He's 17-5-0 compared to Stefan Struve's 27-5. Should be a really good fight. LeVar is 6'4" to, you know, Stefan's 6'11", but I think overall I'm going to have to give it to LeVar Johnson. I know I'm running short on time, so let me just keep this going. Okay, we have Strip Mayokic. I don't know, I'm pronouncing his name horribly, and I apologize already. Hey, come take a look at this name.
You're going to go to video games at some point, so we can't go through the whole card, but just...
It's almost done. There's only a couple more fights.
All right, do it.
I'm on the main card. Versus Shane Delarosio. Rosario.
Yeah.
Both are undefeated. One's 8-0, one's 11-0. But I'm going to have to give it to Shane on this one. He just looks, and from what this is telling me, he is a better, you know, better fighter all around. He's more balanced. So.
He's got an equilibrium, everybody.
Yes, he does. All right, so here are the, you know, last three. Roy Big Country Nelson versus Dave Herman. Well, I'm going to have to give it to Big Country. Now, he's a bigger dude. He really should have dropped down to 205 and been fighting, you know, light heavyweight, but he still hasn't done it because apparently the deal that he made with, you know, with everybody on Facebook didn't get there. So he's fighting at, he weighed at 263 pounds at 6 feet tall.
I could fight him.
He's a lot stronger than you.
I don't care.
And Dave Herman is 6'4", weighing in at 242 pounds, so it looks like a good fight, but I'm going to have to give it over to Roy Nelson. Next fight, Cain Velasquez versus Antonio Silva. You have a 9-1 versus 16-3. Antonio is 3 inches taller and has 25 pounds of weight, but I think Cain Velasquez's striking might be a lot, so much more than... Antonio, granted, Antonio did beat Fedor Emelianenko, but that was here at the end of his career, and the only reason he beat him was Fedor, the doctor stopped
it. I can't, we still can't count Fedor, because there's, you know, the Russians are sneaky.
Well, this was the guy that beat Fedor because the doctor stopped the fight.
Oh, bollocks.
So, I'm giving that one to Cain Velasquez.
And then the main event, Gina Dos Santos versus Frank Mir for the heavyweight title. Frank looks special in this picture. And I'm not even going to give too much on this one. I'm going to give it to Gina Dos Santos. All right.
Can those sounded like fantastic picks. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So you went upstairs and set up the game for Shades, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to check.
Dude, you're going to have to hide in the closet, I guess. You're going to really have to.
Well, I know...
Andrew is in the closet.
In the hallway.
Well, before we move on to the actual couple of the demos that we got to play, I figured we can quickly touch on what's been happening with Curt Schilling.
Okay, so I guess we could segue in that sense from sports into that.
I'll leave you on that one.
Yeah, F that. Okay.
Curt Schilling and the closing of his 38 studios. I mean, this is fucked up as to what happened.
Alright, you know what? Pull up the list of games that they created.
The only thing they created was Kingdoms of Amalur, which Tank says he knows a couple people who made this game. So, he tried raising $75 million, and they failed to make a $1.1 million payment to the state. They tried to get more money out of Rhode Island. Rhode Island said no. Curt Schilling went, all right, I'm just shutting down this company and firing everybody.
Well, why is a lot of the articles that I was reading on it, a lot of them said that the governor himself actually shut it down or something.
Herself.
Okay, herself, whatever.
Because the original governor was all for it, but then he got voted out of office, and then the new governor came in, and she wasn't all too crazy about the idea of 38 studios.
Well, okay, this is one of those concepts is that video games, you know, it depends on who's playing the game, whether it's some kid from, you know, 10 years old or below or up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the game is about. Their game was, what, was that going to be, like, mostly roleplay or something
like that? Right, a lot of people were comparing it to, like, Skyrim.
Yeah.
And it was released back in February, and it sold pretty well. I believe they had sold 300,000 physical copies by March 10th, and they said that it sold, like, over a million copies
around the world, basically, right?
Around the world, which is good. But then they were saying, oh, but we needed to sell 3.3 million to break even. Well, the game just came out a couple months ago. You gotta give it fucking time in order to for people to actually go out and buy it and play it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the whole thing is he has Red Sox Nation behind him, but yet I don't think a lot of them are gamers, so to say. There are a lot of, you know, they play video games, but they might not want to buy something along those lines that is a role-play game. I'm not a role-play game aficionado myself. I don't like it
I'm
so
not
much.
Really either. I mean, there are a couple of exceptions to that rule, but for the most part, I'm not into the RPG games.
But with 38 Studios, it is sad because that just goes to show you that our economy still isn't as great as it's supposed to be. You know, it's getting to that point where stuff is just closing down, and it doesn't seem, you know, all that great. It's still kind of an effed up economy, and trying to look for a job is damn near impossible.
Yeah,
for most of us. So,
understandable. I know how you're feeling, and how everybody's feeling about this. But for Curt Schilling to go, oh, I feel so broke now, which I call bullshit about. No, I guess I gotta shut down this company and fire everybody.
Yeah, so
it's just, I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing with games nowadays. They're kind of hit or miss, you know. A lot of the games that get put out have a lot of hype behind it, and then when you go and play it, it doesn't go and follow through.
True. So, but that's the thing. The gaming industry is, if first you don't succeed, try again.
All right, well, why don't we say screw that to that. Let's put a nail on that one.
Yeah.
Sad. I feel bad for the people who lost their jobs and whatnot, but, you know, I guess that's how the business rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Those goddamn stupid little commercials that you see on the side of the website. Hey, you want to be a gamer? Go for this, blah, blah, blah. We have financial aid. No. Don't go for it. Don't. It'll make your life a living hell.
Yep.
Especially if you don't know how to do math.
Uh-huh.
But, all right, speaking of which, we're going on to Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Yes.
This is my baby that I've been waiting for since, 2009, I want to say. Because mm-hmm. that's when I saw one of the original trailers that made me just, maybe, as I could quote Lonely Island, jizz in my pants. It's one of those things where it's a game that they designed to make it more tactical. Like, if you're playing Call of Duty or you're playing Battlefield Company, they're balls to the wall, go in, shoot it out, fuck it up, do everything else you could possibly do it. Or as, you know, in the drug world, if you can't shoot it, store it, you know, blah, 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 then it's not a great game. But for the most part, I have to say that this, you know, this setup was definitely a hell of a lot more challenging. And I can tell you that not all the kiddies are going to, you know, like this. You're not going to find that goddamn kid that's like friggin' 9 years old that's playing this game and whipping your ass online. I doubt that. I highly doubt that. Unless they've gotten some mods on their controllers or some other bullshit, which you'll find once in a great while. But for the most part, this game was designed so that you have four soldiers that are with you, except for one mission that you go in alone, basically, which is pretty hardcore. But yet, you know, when you're going into the main missions and stuff like that, your setup is to take out multiple guys without them knowing that you're there.
Yep.
So if you're...
Hence the ghost.
Yeah, ghost that's recon. Right. You're basically not supposed to be there. But you have setups where you're going to have to figure out how to take out people or, you know, just move on to the next mission. You could do it this way. You could do a couple of ways, more or less. You could go and you could sneak around. You could make sure that they don't see you. And you could just go by them that way. You can get to infiltrate as that in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go in there and just kill everybody, but do it in a proper way. I do not suggest going in, running in, balls to the wall, and take out stuff. Otherwise, you're going to end up hit shot, and you're going to end up on the ground, and somebody's going to have to save you a bunch of times. And once you get shot maybe two or three times, and you get downed, you're done. And I don't mean like done, you're done for that checkpoint. You're going to have to restart it. How can I say this easily? You got your four guys, so you include yourself in that four.
Mm-hmm.
And what you got, like saying if you're on a map and you've got, usually the setup is two guys want to be up on a tower or something along those lines or something high up. So what you want to do is you want to make sure you pull out a UAV, or otherwise if you see them in line of sight, as it's called, you can tag them. And when you tag those guys, that it shows the soldier actually put, you know, his gun, and it shows a line that shows it's directed towards that soldier. So it gives you the actual line of sight of showing that soldier's on that site. And as soon as you tell them to drop the hammer or you shoot the other person that you targeted, they'll shoot together. It's called synchronizing shooting. And I have to say they did a fantastic job on it, especially because of the slow motion. They did it just absolutely, it was gorgeous. But yet, I have to say that you have to really pay attention, because if you miss that one guy and you shoot him in front of him, that means that they found that dead body, the alarm goes off, and it could be, depending on the mission, because of the fact that there are missions that says no alarms can be sound, you can lose that checkpoint and you have to start over again.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you that this game is, not everybody likes this concept because of the fact that it takes patience. Sometimes you have to wait for the guy to walk over to a certain area that you know is a dark spot because he's got a wall or a tree or something in the way that when he drops his body, not all the other guys are going to see because they're thinking that he's just, you know, walking around behind the wall. So, yeah, it's definitely a hardcore game. Sadly, I did beat it, and I wasn't impressed with the storyline as much as I wanted to be. And I was thinking, damn it, man, this is a Tom Clancy type thing. Why the hell wasn't he singing on the writing or whatnot? But for the most part, as a whole, as a game, like when you get into the multiplayer, you start earning the points so you can design your guy to be really, really cool looking. Not only that, you can also make his gun as ultimate as you want it to be. With the gunsmith, I don't have Kinect, so I can't comment on the whole aspect of the gun of the gunsmith from the Kinect part point of view. I don't believe you can actually play this game at all in Kinect. It's just mainly just to so you can take the gun apart and then you can test fire the gun because they're just trying to perfect it that way. I don't think you could actually go full balls to the wall to like get your guy to go up against the wall. Like, there's no way you can interact with the game system that way to do it. But all in all, I will give 4.1
It hurts me to say that. It's like I want to give it a 5, but it's a 4.1, really, just due to the fact of the storyline. But the concept of the future soldier is fucking awesome. They have a digital camo setup that they could basically just disappear right in front of you almost. I mean, you could see an outline of them, but that's the main thing is like when you go into that thing and you're up against the wall and some guy walks up to you, they're most likely going to see you because of the fact that they can see an outline.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're far away, they can't, you know, it hinders them to see like the light and stuff for the camo effect. But all right, I'm going to shut up about that. Next one is Ridge Racer. You want to rip this one a new one first or what?
Okay, so this game has been out since May. No, not May. Since March.
What? And really?
Yeah, this game has been out since March. And
son of a bitch.
Before I rip in a new one, I do have to say the concept of building your own tracks, going so far as to going deep into the city itself, building the traps, the turns, everything about it, it's really cool. But when it comes to the actual racing itself, I feel like they were trying to do what Split Second was doing, only just wrong.
No, I say epic fail, basically, on this game. The design of the cars are...
They're good.
They're respectable, but I want to say that they lean more towards Forza graphics.
Yeah.
Not the awesomeness of Codemasters. I'm sorry, but if Codemasters did this game, they would have done this fucking right.
Yeah, I put like Codemasters and the guys who make Gran Turismo like at the
that
top.
And maybe Disney Interactive Studios for the racing on Split Second.
Yeah, which I'm so sad they closed down that studio, which means no more Split Second sequel.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Anyways,
but I don't know. Like while I'm racing this game, first of all, I couldn't win to save my life. Like I would get up to like fourth place, and then suddenly, ooh, building crash.
My concept was is I got up to first place, and then at the last second of the two-lap race, everybody was somehow able to have some extra power. I don't know how, but
yeah,
they were able
to get
through.
It's that whole A button thing, the boost.
Yeah, the A button was the boost, but yet again, like, it was coming up to, like, very last second, and, like, four cars pulled up in front of me because of the Ford Mustang that is a piece of shit. If it was a Dodge, because there's a Dodge Challenger in the game that I saw from the video and stuff like that, I was like, ooh, that would have whipped everybody's ass.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I have to say, you know, the game,
it could have been better.
Sucks, man.
It could have been better.
I can't believe that this is like, now I can understand how a professor feels or a teacher feels when there's supposed to be a project and they've given them like 3 fucking months to do the goddamn project, right? And
yes.
They fucking come in and they, well, in their concept, they probably had like 3 years to do this fucking project. And they go and throw this on the desk and then they go and walk out and you go, wow, fail! Fuck you! They must have did this last night. Sucks to be you.
Yep.
That's basically how I felt about this game. Like, they threw it together in 2 seconds and were like, there you go!
I mean, I could rate the... I could give the rating of the game a little bit better if they had given us a chance to even try a little bit of the editor. But we're rating this on the demo itself. I did not like this demo. I give it a 0.
I give it definitely dual negative 0s because of how shit this was. I'm sorry, but if seeing that this game has been out, but if this game was originally to come out and you dropped $60 on it, shame on you. I'm sorry, but this game sucks. I'm sorry, that company should actually give money back to the people who played it. Like,
wow.
For psychological despair, because this game shouldn't, you know, they should lose money. It's just,
okay.
This is bad.
I walked in a room, saw this game, didn't even bother playing it, and had nightmares for weeks.
Good answer.
Wait, are you talking about this game itself or the one that we were talking about that Shades is playing upstairs?
This one that you're talking about now.
Oh, yeah, Ridge Rider. Ridge Racer.
I couldn't see the other one because I wasn't allowed to step in a room.
I told you, I had to hide in the closet.
No, I stay on the floor.
So, let's talk about Steel Battalion Heavy Armor. This has been a game that we've been hearing about for a couple of years. We were scratching our head as to how is this going to work with both the connected and the controller.
I have to agree with... I know we're trying to reach across the table to him, but Angry Joe. I have to agree with Angry Joe's video that he put together of what the fuck are you going to do? You can't sit in a box anymore and play it with the multi-tap like controllers and whatnot.
Yep.
But this setup as a game, I don't know. Because I was wondering, as you were saying, like, what the fuck are they going to do with this game?
Yeah.
We've had a couple episodes of, like, what the fuck are they doing with this game? Mm-hmm. How is this going to happen? So please explain more.
Well, see, like, I was upstairs watching Shades, and he's sitting there trying to play. He's like, oh, wait, I got to go to a controller now.
Yep. So it's set up like this. When you're playing with the controller, that's when you're maneuvering the machine itself and firing the guns. But with the Kinect, you're pressing random buttons.
You're making arm gestures, basically.
Yes, you're making arm gestures.
So when you have to do a hand button thing, you have to put your hand out like this and make it seem like you're hitting a button. It's like you're actually slamming it down.
What was that motion again?
It was bam. Oh, wait, that's the...
Oh, yeah!
Oh, wait, oh, yeah, Heil, yes.
So
apparently you're Heiling Hitler at the same time while, you know, moving your arms back and forth. And
yes.
So apparently if nobody understands or if a deaf person walks into the room and they're like, what are you doing? You know, because you're making hand gestures, they're going to get probably pissed off at you because... But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like in the camera view and stuff like that. I'm trying to scratch my nose or my foot was itchy. Or I'm trying to like this. And
it's trying to
zoom out and zoom in. I'm like, fuck!
Okay. I do have to give him for doing a great job with the tutorial and teaching you how to do everything. But when they throw you into battle, it feels like you got to do everything at the same fucking time. And that confused the hell out of me. Granted, yes, the Kinect reads my emotions pretty okay. But I got a bit of a small room, so I wonder if this game will be better if I had a much bigger setup.
I said you could bring it over to my house because I now have my second Xbox set up in my pool room.
Oh, right.
So now we've got more room to play around in, but the TV sucks dick.
Or
I'm working on getting a better TV in there.
Sure you are.
I am. Craigslist, bitch.
Oh, man. I'll get the gun ready.
Yeah. How many times have we had to fend ourselves at Craigslist?
Oh, man.
There's too many goddamn repeat offender or people that are copycats of the goddamn serial killer
Craigslist.
Yeah. I'll never forget when you got the TV that we use now for all of our stuff. We drove into, like, the backwooded area of some random city.
Of Saugus, yeah, that's what it was. And it looked like the White House.
Yeah, we were fucking scared.
Yep.
We're like, wow, these people have fucking columns on their house. What is this?
Our phones wouldn't even work. Since it's a serial killer, we can't even call 911.
I was like, fuck me. Yeah. Anyways, but right. back to the heavy armor. Yeah,
that was confusing as hell.
Well, okay, the whole concept of you swiping your arm against, you know, like, well, okay, depending on which way you swiped your arm. Because if you swiped your arm, you use your right arm, you'd have to swipe from left to right. That would make you go left.
Mm-hmm.
And if you swipe with your hand right to left, you'd go the other way. So, you had to make sure you knew which way you were going.
Yes.
But that's only to look at the other characters that are, the other assholes that are in the actual VT unit with you.
Yes.
I was thinking that if... Because this is a mech type game, you could definitely use this going towards maybe a tank game. I want to see a tank game now because of this. I want to see like an actual tank game, like M1 Abrams, like Commanders or some shit like that. I want to have a call, like,
but
call
make
like
it
that.
All like connects. You sit there, you actually grab, you know, fake joysticks and you move them.
Or otherwise, what do you call that tank? That the World of Tanks or something like that.
Yes,
you got World of Tanks, right? You can hook up your Kinect to your computer and start playing it that way.
Dude, they've been making the Kinect for PC.
That's what I'm saying.
Pretty soon. That would be a great idea. I just feel like this is a good idea. This is a good idea, Steel Battalion Heavy Armor. I feel like Capcom and the other, what is it called, From Software, they did what they could in order to properly give us a good Kinect experience. I just feel like... When it comes to going into battle itself, there's just so much going on and so much that you need to do that you're gonna find yourself dying so many times playing this game to the point of frustration.
I'm going to also have to say is you're going to have to turn up the audio on the aspect of the guys when they're talking, because you like all the explosions and bullets whizzing by the you know the tanks you know
yep.
setup is causing so much commotion you can't hear what's going on the radio, and even trying to read at the bottom you can't read fast enough
I mean, I know I'm special ed when it comes to reading, but I can understand words and symbols at the bottom of the screen
called
sentences.
It took you 3 months to read a Dr. Seuss book. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. I can't fucking read books anymore. It's just too non-entertaining. My brain imagination has gone downhill. But for the most part... One second, sir.
Okay.
1 second. For the most part, the setup is you're definitely going to have the, the earpieces in. That, and I feel like you're going to have to get a three-way TV on this sucker. Or otherwise, what you're going to get... is the setup from Alienware back in the day, like a couple years ago, they had one that actually had a rounding to it, so it gave
you mean
kind
like
of
what Teg's been wanting to do.
Yeah, basically. But
so that way you won't have to switch the angles. You could have the left side there, the right side there, and split center right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so you can actually see what the hell's going on within the cockpit, but also be able to move forward and be able to get a wider view of what the hell's going on out there. Because that's the whole thing is you need to make sure that you know what the hell's going on. Okay. In order to press the buttons and everything like that to get the goddamn thing to move, that is a hard son of a bitch to do. This game, because of the fact that you've got four guys... Yes. Four guys in there. You got two guys at your loaders.
Yeah.
And you got one guy who's your biatch, who takes in all the radio information, all this other stuff, but he also whips the friggin', he whips the other thing at you, that the camera mount, so you can actually see what's going on around you, but also the commander's thing that tells you where to go, which finally they sent to me after the fact that I got blown up like six times.
Yeah.
So, with the game set up, yeah, I'm impressed with it. Could it be better? Yes. Could it, be stronger? If I have gotten to play this at PAX East, I would have been like, holy fuck, what is this? Why is this like that? When I was trying to watch the people play it, I still couldn't figure out what the hell they were doing.
Yep.
But, to do the whole pulling, levers and all that other stuff,
yep.
They still need to get that proper. I don't know why.
Me too. Agreed. I felt like there was a kind of little glitchy areas there.
I don't know if it was because when I stood up, because of the way, you have to angle it right. You have to be sitting at the right distance, because when I put my arms out, I put it out, but I think a little bit of my arm was out of the box.
Yeah.
So when I put it back, I noticed that there was one line that kept on jumping back and forth on my left hand. And I was like, what the fuck? What is that doing? I'm trying to figure out what it was doing, but I don't know. That's besides the point. As a demo altogether, I will rate this at...
I can give it like a...
I don't know.
I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5.
As a demo, 3.3. But if I get to play the actual game, it's a lot smoother. There's a lot more patches and to fix everything like that. I bet
it'll be better.
It will be much better. But yeah, I think it's just going to be funny for people to sit there and watch you, because you're going to be sitting down in a chair and you have to sit up straight.
Yes.
No more slouching over. You can't slouch over, otherwise it starts effing up on you. It really does. It says it right on there. You sit up straight. You got to make sure, and it's like great. It will greet you to grab great posture or really bad back, But it's definitely an interesting game, and I look forward to actually playing the real game. But right now, the demo seems a little iffy. So, but for the most part, I think we can stick a fork in this episode.
Yeah.
Well, again, something kind of funny for you that answers a question that we've all been trying to figure out since we were young and. I was watching some TV the other day, and
Uh-oh. It
put it together for me. We all read Green Eggs and Ham when we were a kid.
Oh, no.
We all want to know where the green ham came from, right?
Yeah.
Figured it out. Kermit and Miss Piggy had a baby, and they killed it.
Oh!
Okay, then.
I guess that's a French cuisine for you, but for the most part, I'm...
No, because they actually let the pig walk around before it was slaughtered.
Oh, okay.
Unlike
they didn't do a veal version. No, I'm just kidding. But,
all right, let's stick a fork in this.
You want to stick to the fights today.
Yeah, we're going to go to the fights tonight, but yeah, for the most part.
Woo, fighting!
Okay, so visit our website, b3crew.com, for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, if there's anything you want us to discuss on the show, you can reach us at thebastards@bossandbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck, Blue Onyx on at Blue Onyx, Anvil's on at Anvil63.
I don't want to.
You can't make me. Stupid Twitter. We're also on Facebook, so you can check us out on there. You just go and type in Boss Bash Brigade. You find our group set up, and you can comment on stuff right there and then. We'll answer your questions, right straight out at you. We can talk to you faster that way. Well, because I'm always on it. but yeah, for the most part,
He lives on our Facebook.
Yes, we did. Yes, I do. I was able to put out a lot of stuff, especially my unboxing of Max Payne 3.
Yes.
So if you want to go and check that out, go ahead and check it out.
It's boring.
No,
it's
not. I will fucking kill you.
I couldn't sleep that day, so I watched the video with sound asleep.
So we went from insomniac mode to fucking... So if you want to sleep, go and watch that video. At least you'll get us some points. No.
Check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, The Vagabonds, The Issues Program, TPSMMA.com,
JC Sargent.
JC Sargent. Matt Eats the Wad.
No, not Matt Eats the Wad. It's Matt the Wad.
Matt the Wad. And check out Reality Fighting, where you see me and Blue next week chilling out for the big fight at the Mohegan Sun Casino.
Now, last week we talked about WFNX and how hard it's going to be for people to get into the Boston local music scene. There's a good website. Ran to an old buddy from my high school.
No, it's not just good. It's great.
Yes, a great website. Casual Friday.
Who's this person that has it?
Yeah, who is this person?
My friend Tom McCall.
Ah, okay.
We went to Link Classical together, and this is a great website. I think it'll get you into some, like, the Boston music scene and some great artists. He just did a photo shoot. I saw a couple pictures of this band called the Fat Creeps.
Okay.
Fat Creeps.
I was going to call them Brain Farts for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a surf rock band, garage surf rock band, reminiscent of Waves. They're pretty good.
Hold on. How can you surf? Because it's New England, man. We don't have, like, big...
Devil Beach has some pretty good waves during the summertime.
Not the name of them. Anyways, go ahead, sir.
Okay.
No, see, what we need is Anvil to jump off something really high in the water, and that would create... No, you and I! Then we can create tidal waves and kill people. Yeah.
Also,
Causes monsoons.
She'd be bobbing in the water. There's nothing heavy enough to bring her up. Anyways,
next week... I will be at E3 with Pandalicious, Ninja Sister, and Handsome Man 2049.
Oh, fucking rub it in.
So look for me on the floors there, checking out all the video games there. Next week, I'm also going to have another episode of the No Borders, No Race Music Podcast episode. We got some great music from Japan, local area, some stuff from San Francisco, from our buddies from the Nervous Records. I don't know if there's going to be a regular B3 show. I don't know if what the Blowing Animal are going to be able to do something. If they are, that's awesome.
Keep an eye out for what we do.
Yes, yes.
We'll figure something out.
Well, we're going to the fights anyway, so it's going to be something.
Yeah, we're going to be doing something interesting. It will probably be the podcast at the Blaze.
Okay.
We'll figure something out.
All right.
Once we find out our accommodations.
Okay.
Well, you guys, we're going to put you in the center of a cage, and the fight goes on, you're going to jump over the people. It's like... All right, so ladies and gentlemen, Ricardo George is kicking. Wait, hold on. Oh, we just jumped over Ricardo George and he kicked his opponent.
Holy shit!
All right, now we're holding on the side of the cage. The referee, wait, we're not allowed to pull on the side of the cage either.
You just got kicked in the fucking face again!
So we got a lot of stuff going on for these next couple weeks.
Yeah.
So, look out for that. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Morning.
And Anvil.
Reminding you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps!
He's trying to cut it off fast.
Well, we are
the Bastards.